August blends up and quorum
Methodist queen works only
case. Let's cut the bull.
Thanks for tuning in to Rebellion Radio, the Hunger Games podcast. All right, hello everybody and welcome to Rebellion Radio episode number 36. My name is Hurley Commons.
And I'm Alex Bolova.
And welcome back, everybody, to our first episode. No, that's not right. Our last episode before the Catching Fire film release. How does that feel, Alex?
Catching Fire comes out in about a month at this point, and
yeah,
we're just waiting.
It's like waiting on pin needles, or whatever the saying is.
Exactly. We're sitting here, we are prepping ourselves mentally, we are buying our tickets, we are ready.
So with that, let's jump straight into our first segment, which is breaking news, where we update you on the latest and most important Hunger Games news stories. So the first one, well, we have a ton of news. We're going to start with Catching Fire news and then move to Mockingjay news. So the first little piece is that tickets are now on sale.
Woo!
So yeah, so you can go out and get your tickets online. And Alex, have you bought your tickets yet?
I have not, although last night I saw an advertisement in my local theater while I was going to see Gravity, which, by the way, see Gravity.
Okay, but I do want to see that.
But yeah, I saw a big, you know, poster board saying, like, buy your Catching Fire tickets now.
Are you gonna go midnight premiere again this year?
I think I need to keep up that tradition.
I know, it's like, if you start that way, you can't just drop off.
You've gotta go all out.
Right. So everyone, make sure to get your tickets soon for your local theater midnight premiere. That'd be awesome. And with that story comes a little tidbit about the film that we already knew, but good to know. And that is that the film has been rated PG-13 by the Motion Picture Association of America.
Yay!
Yay! Good. We always knew that, but it's kind of interesting to see why. And the little blurb is, excuse me. It said PG-13 for intense sequences of violence and action, okay, some frightening images, thematic elements, a suggestive situation, and language.
I'm calling it now elevator scene.
Elevator scene?
For suggestive situation?
It must be, right?
Yeah.
Is that, yeah, but is that really,
I mean, we're dealing with the MPAA.
That is true.
They're the ones who gave the King's Speech a rated R rating because it has, like, 10 seconds
language.
Of cussing, so.
Right. I don't know. Yeah, the MPAA has been spotty with their consistency, but
yeah,
we'll see. I feel like there might be something else. There might be a Peter Katniss scene in there. We did see quotes from Francis Lawrence, the director, saying the romance is turned up.
Mm-hmm.
And from my understanding of the elevator scene, I don't think it's that... Isn't that suggestive? I mean, she's just naked.
Well, you it's say not... that in the MPAA things. Witchcraft! Devilry! Corruption!
Heresy.
So, yeah, I think everybody expected this rating. I think if this got rated R or a PG, then all of us would be flipping out right now.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the expected.
Right. So, Alex, what is the next news story?
So our next bit of news is that the Catching Fire soundtrack now has all of the song names and artists who are contributing music.
Except I do want to note that it's the companion, the companion album.
So the official companion album to the Hunger Games, Catching Fire soundtrack, has all of the artists who are contributing songs to it released, and all the song names. So, some bands that you may or may not recognize include Coldplay with Atlas, Of Monsters of Men with Silhouettes, The National, which I think only I know, with a song called Lean.
Oh, I know The National. That's good.
Very good. Christina Aguilera with We Remain. Imagine Dragons with Who We Are. Lord with Everybody Wants to Rule the World. The Lumineers with the best title, Gale Song. And I think that's the last of what people would recognize. I mean,
oh, Ellie Goulding has a song on there, Mirrors.
I have no idea who that is.
Ellie Goulding did Lights.
Oh!
Do. Okay, I'm not going to hum it.
No, I know the song you're talking about. Lights. The Age of Lights. Okay.
Yeah. So, I think this is amazing.
This is a impressive track list.
It's amazing, actually. I mean, Coldplay, headlining at the top,
right,
but is you've got, amazing in itself.
But you've got Imagine Dragons going, you've got Lord, who has just kind of struck big recently.
Right, and Lord's latest song, Royals, actually does kind of remind me of The Hunger Games a little bit.
Ah, and
the title of the Lord's song on this one, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. It's exciting, man. Ellie Goulding, The Lumineers, these are huge names! Yeah. Imagine Dragons!
I mean, these are big.
Jesus.
They're definitely not hipster, but they're definitely more on the alternative side. They're less poppy.
Right. There's less of the kind of the first one was a little different in terms of music style, but I'm really excited. I would buy this album even if it had nothing to do with The Hunger Games.
Yeah, it's a very good
collection.
When
you know. And that's when you know they're probably doing a really good job, because, like, oh, and they're huge names, too, so.
Yep. And if you're like Hurley and you want to buy it, to plug for this album, you can buy it on November 19th, which is 3 days before Hunger Games Catching Fire opens in theaters.
Yeah, should be good. And the next story we have is that Jennifer Lawrence says in a new interview that she kind of wants to move away from playing the braid all the time.
No! Oh, Lord, no! Don't get rid of the braid.
The braid. So in this interview, you can see her saying, "I still love playing Katniss, and I'm really looking forward to playing her, being her again. There's honestly no part of it that I'm bored with. Actually, that's not true. I am so bored with her braid. I keep asking, can I just wear it differently? But they keep saying no." So, this is very interesting to me, because the braid, sort of, for me, it symbolizes, like, she's the breadwinner for her family, so she kind of needs to keep her hair. Isn't that kind of what it stemmed from? Like, she needed to keep her hair away when she was hunting,
right,
so it wasn't in her eyes?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a character thing, but at the same time, I think, if you couldn't tell by my reaction when the new series was first announced, I'm fine with it. I mean, change things up is fine. I mean, the braid is kind of iconic to the character, but I could go with something else.
Right. And I think the braid, the reason I'm okay with the braid changing is because she changes. Like, her character changes.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, it's okay to move away from the braid a little bit. But I was excited because she says she's really excited with Frances Lawrence. She says, "Fortunately, I think Frances is the smartest decision any studio has ever made."
That,
which is a pretty big declaring statement.
That is
very
big statement.
So, you know, I think if she's confident with Frances, I think we all were confident with Frances, but
I mean, this is Jennifer Lawrence. This is our Oscar-winning actress leading the series. If she's saying good things about the director, I think we can trust her.
I think so, too. So, in the next story, Alex, you want to go ahead?
So, our next story is that the Catching Fire revamps the capital.pn and unveils first clip from film. So essentially the website has been updated and a little clip from the movie has been released, and it is that of Katniss and several other tributes doing their training before the Hunger Games, and sort of that clip that you saw from the trailer where there's the orange, I guess, pixelated warrior fighting things?
Little simulations.
Right, it's a simulation, and so it's an expanded clip of all the tributes fighting off the, you know, pixels. I mean, it's a cool-looking scene.
Definitely is a cool-looking scene. The first, you know, actual clip we've seen. And if you watch it, it's kind of interesting how it's, like, put together. You can definitely tell the feeling is different than the first one, because it's, like, it's sort of these shots back-to-back, but there's no music. It's very kind of quiet.
Right.
And I like it. It's good.
To use my amazing film studies knowledge, there is a lot of just diegetic sound going on.
I do not know what that means.
Diegetic means there's no music. It's just everything
that's
in the scene.
Interesting.
Welcome
to
no
film music.
Studies with Alex Bulova.
Oh, God.
That's right.
Podcast.
I'm taking that class this year.
Yeah, new podcast coming from us, Film Studies. The capital.pn is back, and let me tell you, Alex, it's following the trend of the movies. Like, it's escalated. Like, last time was sort of, the color scheme was sort of brown, and it was a little antiquated looking.
Right.
At least compared to this time. But now it's all shiny and blue, and it seems to be following the path of the film, you know, aesthetically and then technologically.
Aesthetically, it's just kind of more metallic, I would
exactly.
say.
Yeah, it's just a lot different. But it's fun.
Yeah, it's a very pretty looking website.
Very, indeed. So now that finishes Catching Fire news, and we're going to move into Mockingjay news, and there's a couple of huge stories in here.
Yeah.
Number one, The Hunger Games Mockingjay has begun filming in Atlanta.
Woo! Go Atlanta.
Dear Lord, this schedule must be insane.
I mean, yeah, they have to have a film out, you know, every year at this point. I mean, it for those people who don't know a lot about, you know, filming, it takes a while to get this stuff done, and the sheer scope of Mockingjay is going to require a lot of filming.
Right. And just the fact that they're filming before the second one even comes out.
I know. This is like Lord of the Rings. They're just filming as many of them as close in time as possible. Just get everything done.
It's wild, yeah. But the next story, Alex, is one that's quite exciting.
Yep. So, Steph Dawson joins the Hunger Games Mockingjay cast as Fennec's wife.
Whose name is?
Otherwise known as Annie.
Yep. So not a whole lot to say about that, but do you like the way she looks?
Yeah, she looks appropriate for the role.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, what other... Has she been in anything else?
Not a whole lot, but that's kind of good that there's an unknown.
Yeah.
And the final news story of today is one that we have been waiting for a long time, and that is Julianne Moore has been officially cast as President Coin in Mockingjay.
What?
Now, yeah, and I believe this was a dream casting of ours a while ago.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was, but it's perfect.
I think so, too.
So she has 4 Oscar nominations, including 2 Best Supporting Actresses for Boogie Nights, which, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably shouldn't have seen, The Hours, and then Best Actress for Far From Heaven and The End of the Affair. So she's pretty legitimate.
Oh, she's super legitimate. And she's also been in The Big Lebowski, which is one of my favorites. Magnolia, which I saw recently. Let's see. Other things.
She's been in a lot of things. She was with Philip Seymour Hoffman, Boogie Nights.
Yes, and Magnolia as well.
Yep. Well, I mean, those are Paul Thomas Anderson films.
Right, and they cross the stars a lot. But she's also been in 30 Rock, a TV show that I watch as one of Alec Baldwin's love interests. So she's awesome. She's great. Oh, and you know what? She was Sarah Palin in Game Change, and she won Emmy, I think, for that.
Oh, yeah.
So she's a seasoned actor.
She's also in Children of Men, which from the same director as Gravity, which I'll reference that in every single second of this podcast.
Yeah. So I think she'll bring... It's like the caliber of the actors that they're bringing into this series is just... It's just wow.
So many good actors.
It's just wow. That's my official statement.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, email us in on your thoughts about Julianne Moore.
Yeah.
And that finishes up the news for this week. Thank you all for listening to the news. And be sure to email us in your thoughts about any of the things that we talked about. So right now we would usually do mailbag, in which we would ask you to email in your thoughts to comments@rebellionradiopodcast.com, but we unfortunately do not have the time this week to read off emails because we have an extended chapter chat segment this week. But with the film coming out next month, please email us in your thoughts on the film once you see it, right after you see it, the night after you see it, and we'll read them off. In the theater, I want you guys typing up your emails. No,
once you
don't do that.
Turn back on your phones, because you turn off your phones, you better.
Right.
Send us your thoughts, everything you think. Do you think it's a masterpiece? Do you think it's horrible? Tell us about everything. If you're a film nerd like us, tell us about cinematography, just everything. We want to hear your opinions.
Right. And we'll catch up on emails on the next few episodes. All right. So, Chapter Chat returns once again, and Chapter Chat is our main segment in which we discuss a series of chapters from the Hunger Games trilogy. Previously on Catching Fire, Katniss and Peeta have fallen asleep after a hectic day of the arena. And in this week's installment, get ready for this, this is exciting, we will be analyzing the final chapters of Catching Fire, 25, 26, and 27. And Alex, the timing is perfect.
Yes.
Because the film's coming out next episode.
Let's finish this thing.
Let's finish it off.
It has chapter been a 25. While.
It has been a while. But it's good, because we finished the first book the week before our film, so, you know.
And we totally plan it like this, right?
Of course, it's all methodically calculated. With all the breaks we took and all that, it was all there all along, don't worry.
We are professionals.
As always, spoiler alert for the entire trilogy. So we begin with chapter 25. Katniss awakens, and she feels tenderness towards Peeta, but has to let it go so she can concentrate on getting through the games. The group gets 24 rolls of bread from the outside. Katniss stresses about their group. She knows working together has to be short-lived. There can only be one winner. She keeps waiting for the other shoe to drop. What does that mean?
It means you're waiting for something to happen.
Oh.
It's like something big to happen. It's a phrase.
I thought I missed a huge plot point or something.
Yes. Like, oh, wait, you didn't get the motifs about the shoes?
Yeah. Alright, so she takes Peeta aside under the pretext of teaching him swimming skills. Really, it's just a chance to talk. She thinks that they should ditch the others right away, but he thinks that they still need them for a little while longer. The water seems healing and their scabs start to come off. So Katniss agrees with Peeta for the time being. They call Finnick over so all three can soak off their gross scabs. And these scabs, by the way, are from the poison fog from the previous chapters.
Yep.
So the allies get together to make plans with Beatty. He outlines their strategy, to kill the remaining opponents before they get killed themselves. So, I know Katniss says she wants to get out of there as soon as possible. Well, what is their plan once they don't need their allies? Like, at what point do you still ally with people?
That's just kind of one of those moral questions that is an underlying theme. I mean, obviously, if you've read to the end of Catching Fire, you know things don't exactly go according to plan. But I mean, I don't know. Because, yeah, when you do make allies, you're gonna have to, in the Hunger Games, you have to break them.
Right, and it's so, like, it's what if you just kill them all right after they kill everybody else for you? Like,
right. I mean, or you could do, like, this big thing where everybody's like, oh, we'll all eat poison berries at the same time. We can all live.
Right.
Which would not work again. But.
Right. So, the group decides that the others are most likely close by. So, Beatty says that they should use the precious metal item, which is really a container of special wire, to make a trap that is triggered at the 12-hour mark by the lightning strike. He says that they can use the wire to electrocute almost the whole arena. Everyone in the targeted area will die. So, is he not worried about electrocuting themselves? Is that not issue here?
In the Hunger Games, in a situation that you're already more likely to die than to live, taking a risk like this, you know, you got nothing to lose.
That's true. So they will have to be far away so that they don't get caught. The others are skeptical, but Beatty has answers to all of their questions. They agree to give it a shot. The teams get started. They have to make their way to a special tree where the lightning strikes every time, which will conduct lightning through their wire. The team briefly discusses the force field, and Katniss tells them where they need to stay to be safe from it. They arrive at the tree and get to work. They have to establish their camp, guard themselves, and set up their plan. Beatty tests the force field, but nobody else really understands what he's doing. They know another danger is coming at 11 hours. They're not sure what, though, so they have to temporarily retreat to another area where they will be safe. They go off to have lunch in the other area until 12 has passed, then they go back to the beach where they were before. The others rest while Beatty fine-tunes the weapon. They gather a ton of seafood to eat, since the fish in the water may die when they electrocute the arena. That's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Peeta finds a pearl and an oyster and gives it to Katniss. Aww. Aww, that's sweet. The two make eye contact, and Peeta realizes that Katniss is still determined to save his life over her own. They're both sad. They get 24 more rolls of bread. They sit and eat, Everyone is somber and thoughtful. And this chapter, even though, like, not a whole lot of action happens, it's kind of like a perfect penultimate chapter. Like, it's leading up to it. Yep. It's like in the first book when they wake up and they're, like, going around and all the water's dried up. It's like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, this is the moment where people go, okay, I guess we actually have to kill them.
Yeah. But I remember when first reading this, though, my heart was racing. It's like,
yeah,
what's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, not a lot happens, but it's imagining what's going to happen after it. I mean, it's not a traditional cliffhanger in that, you know, no big event happens, like, you know, the end of Catching Fire, like the very last chapter. We're going to talk about it, but it is the biggest cliffhanger.
Yeah.
This one's only a cliffhanger in that, you know, you don't know how things are going to turn out. Nothing's immediately threatened, but still, you're on edge.
Right. So, speaking of that, let's get into the next chapter, chapter 26.
Yep. So, it's night again. Usually there would be an announcement of the dead, but no one else has died since the previous day. Shucks. That evening, the Allies put their plan into action. They have to go back across rough terrain to the tree where the lightning will strike. BT and Finnick put the wire around the tree. BT has a specific, complex vision of what form the wire should be, what should take. He lays out the rest of the strategy. They have to be split up. The men will stay behind while Katniss and Johanna run with the wire back to the beach, and then get the heck out of there before the lightning strikes. Peeta doesn't want to separate, and neither does Katniss, but they really have no choice. So they get going. Johanna and Katniss have made it pretty far when they realize that the wire's been severed. Katniss is hit in the head and blacks out. She comes to She comes to and realizes that Johanna is cutting into her arm severely. Johanna pulls Katniss down and rushes off. So this was probably the moment where, as a reader, I just got so confused.
Right, and it's kind of where your perception of what's been happening the entire book is just like, what?
Yeah, like, what's going on? And so obviously at this point, I didn't stop to contemplate like I am now. I kept reading and read that some of their enemies rushed by, and Katniss definitely doesn't know whom to trust now, and she's seriously wounded. She realizes she has to try to protect Peeta, but she doesn't know where he is. She's still trying to strategize, although she doesn't know what's going on. Me too. She's sick to her stomach and is in a lot of pain. She tries to get her arm wound under control, but she can't even tell how bad it is. She keeps searching for Peeta, figuring that he's the only one left she can still trust. Finnick's looking for her, and she hides from him. She knows their time is running out. An announcement comes from afar. Someone else has died. She hopes it's not Peeta. She gets caught in something and figures out it's BD's wire. She frees herself and keeps going. She makes it back to the tree, and only BD is still there. He's knocked out and wounded. She can't figure out what happened. Looks like he had some kind of plan involving the force field and more wire, because she can see both close by. But he kept the plan to himself, and now he's out of commission. Peeta yells for Katniss, and she shouts back. She's hoping to save him and give herself up. She sees an Obaria and Finnick coming. Then another noise.
When you saw this, did you think that Finnick had betrayed them?
Oh, definitely.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
So me too.
Yeah, when I first read that, I'm like, oh, Finnick, I'm starting to like you.
So you definitely thought everyone was just going for free-for-all.
Yeah, especially Johanna. Too. I mean, nobody trusts her from the beginning. And when this all happens, I'm like, okay, you should have known Barry Katniss.
Yeah. Alright, yeah.
So where was I? So she sees Enobari and Finnick coming. And then another noise announcing that someone else has died. But who? Peeta yells again, but Katniss is busy counting the odds. The numbers are shrinking, so if she bows out now, Peeta could still have a fair shot. It's painful, but she promised herself in Haymitch that he'd be the one to survive. But just in the nick of time, Katniss has an epiphany. She thinks back to the advice Haymitch gave her right before they went into the arena about who the real enemy is. She knows who it is now, and what she has to do. She can finish what BT was trying to accomplish. Oh, can't you just hear the dramatic music just rising?
Seriously, this is a slow motion scene, man.
So Katniss attaches. All right, that's a horrible slow motion voice. Katniss attaches her arrow to his wire and sends it shooting up into the force field. She aims for the weak spot she learned about during training. She hits it, and the world explodes into fire all around her.
bum bum bum.
What?
That is truly a whirlwind of storytelling.
That is going to be an amazing scene.
Can you imagine?
As long as it's not shaky cam.
It won't be. It which better we already not know. Be. So it's awesome. So
it's going to look so great. I hope it does.
So I was just really pleased with this when I read it. I mean, there's not a whole lot to say, but the way she kind of used that knowledge from the first act, they say you introduce the first gun in the first act and you fire it in the third act.
Yep, Chekhov's gun.
Yeah, so she found the weak spot in training and now she's using it. So is that all it takes, though? I've always wondered about that. You just have to shoot an arrow into a weak spot and the entire force field explodes?
Yeah, I mean,
is that possible?
It that seems feels kinda a bit easy. Like, I know it's something that you don't usually think about, but I feel like there just being one chink in the armor is hard. Like, it's a conceit you have to give. It's a mulligan.
It's okay, I get that, but does it have to be self-destructive? Like, I can understand if it's like, alright, the weakness is how we get out, or like, it's how we get through the force field, but it destroyed the entire thing.
I mean, it was attached to the wire. Could it be the fact that the energy of it all transferred into the wire and just everything went chaosy? I think we have to consider the wire and electricity and all
the,
of that
the arrow attaches the wire, shoots up into the force field, and then she hits it, and the world explodes into fire. So, the lightning hadn't been there yet, had it?
I don't think so. I think that'd be, like, the best timing ever. Which, that'd be even hard to believe. I think, I don't know, maybe the wire carried the electricity through, you know, the force field and spread it out among, like, the forest or whatever. But you know mm-hmm. what? I think we should keep going on to figure out what just happened.
True. Oh, you know what? It's the lightning.
So the lightning does happen.
Yeah, so
and right in the
Wikia for the Hunger Games, she wraps the wire around the arrow, shoots it into the flaw at the exact moment when the lightning strikes the tree, blowing up the arena. Okay.
Okay, then. Wow, that's convenient.
There it is. All right. So the final chapter, chapter 27, the explosion is huge. It's not just what she did. It looks like other independent explosions are happening too. Candace thinks they're all going to die and silently apologizes to PETA. Suddenly, a hovercraft appears and grasps Katniss. She can't figure out why this is happening and wishes she were dead. Inside the craft is Plutarch. She thinks things couldn't get any worse and loses consciousness. When Katniss comes to, she is bound up in an unfamiliar place with medical tubes connected to her. She tries to free herself, but blacks out again. She wakes up briefly a second time and figures out she's in a medical care area with Beatty. They're both restrained. She thinks they're being kept alive to be punished even more. She longs for death, then blacks out again. So she has better days. She's blacking out two, three times. And what was going through your head at this time? I knew something was weird was going on because, you know, they're not supposed to leave alive.
Right.
So did you have any clue or?
I honestly couldn't guess what was happening, because I felt a lot like Katniss. I felt like I knew nothing of what was going on. I felt so confused.
And that's kind of the strength of the whole the limited narrative of the book.
Right.
You know, you learn things as she learns it.
Exactly.
So she decides that if PETA's alive, she should kill him out of mercy before they get dragged into some kind of horrible punishment. This is as dark as it gets. She's having dark thoughts.
Yeah.
So she finds a needle and a syringe to use as a weapon and goes looking for PETA. She doesn't know where she is and ends up overhearing a conversation between Plutarch, Finnick, and Haymitch. Now this scene's where my mind was blown. I was like, what? So Finnick sounds really upset and the others are trying to calm him down. Candace barges in and they try to calm her. Haymitch gives her the lowdown on what took place. So tune in, folks. This is where it gets interesting. The whole thing had been planned by a select group of people for a long time. Candace isn't being punished, she's being rescued. Some of the other tributes knew what was happening too, and were working on the plan from the inside, along with Plutarch. The snacks that they were getting as presents weren't just for sustenance. They were codes indicating when Plutarch's group would try to get into the arena and break them all out. And there is a District 13, which is where Katniss is being taken. What? We knew it from the beginning, didn't we?
Oh, I totally guess all of this. Definitely. Yeah.
The District 13 part, at least. I didn't guess anything else.
But yeah, this is like probably one of the biggest twist endings of like anything I've read.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
totally.
This almost like borders on being ridiculous in just how much was going on.
Right.
But I mean, just this when I was reading this was I think my jaw was on the floor. And I don't remember where I was reading. Actually, no, I was reading this in the back of a bus. I got to the last chapter, and I was reading this on a bus. I'm like, oh my god. Like, right. This...
Your brain was melting.
Yeah, we should probably discuss this.
Yes. So, well, let's finish up. So,
okay.
So Katniss is upset because she was being played the whole time. Plutarch confirms that he was trying to give her a message when he showed her his watch. So, you know, that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Katniss discovers that the whole time the other tributes were trying to keep her safe. Unbeknownst to her, she's the rallying point for a potential rebellion, a figurehead for the people to fall behind. They had to keep Peeta safe, too, for her sake. Katniss is horrified to find out that they weren't able to rescue Peeta from the arena. Neither did Johanna or Anabaria. She attacks Haymitch viciously until she's drugged and knocked out.
Poor Katniss.
Jesus. Poor Katniss. This time when she comes to, Finnick is there. He tries to explain things and comfort her, but she won't hear it. Katniss descends into despair. She doesn't know what to hope for. It seems like she might be trying to starve herself to death. Finally, someone brings her back to her senses. A wounded Gale comes to visit her. She feels more like herself when she's around him and can think about something besides Peeta. Gale explains that District 12 has been attacked by the Capitol. Her family is okay, but her home is no more.
Bum bum ba.
And that concludes Catching Fire, the second book in the Hunger Games trilogy.
To which I believe everybody who ever read it went, what?
It was one of the heart-pounding endings of literature.
Jesus.
I know.
When I first read that, I'm like, you cannot end it. No, there is no way you can end on this note. This is
it did feel like it was like note. It's so cruel. Like it was like, no, don't do this to us.
Like, I mean, yeah, I know it's traditionally in a trilogy, the second end of the second movie or book is where things are at their worst. If you go back to Star Wars with why am I forgetting what it's called? The Empire Strikes Back, and then Empire Strikes Back, the rebels are. Messed up. Han Solo's been imprisoned in Carbonite. Everything is gone, including, Luke's hand. This is in that vein of just no hope. Everything is just gone. Her home's been destroyed. She's lost her love. This was just quite an ending to go out on.
It's pretty awesome.
This is probably the reason a lot of people really like Catching Fire. Like, when people say it's their favorite book, I think it's because of the ending like this.
I think so, too. Because if you're looking at purely the storyline, until the ending, it's pretty, there's a lot of comparisons to the first, It's The Hunger Games, essentially, the second time.
Right.
But the ending is where you really get the big picture. Like, it's kind of cool because you get this idea that it's not just about Katniss and her world. It's about the rebellion and this bigger picture.
Right.
So, I think it's phenomenal. I think that's... this is an awesome way to get us pumped for the film coming out in a month, so...
Can you imagine the screams are going to come out in the theater when it's like, there is no more District 12, and then just cuts to black, and the entire theater is just going to erupt in, tears?
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's a testament to Suzanne Collins that we kind of just end this by going, ah.
Yeah. Well, thanks everyone for following us for Chapter Chat for this crazy ride that is Catching Fire. All right, and that does it for the show as well. Thanks everyone for listening. For our final segment, we have Hrock. And in Hrock, or Hunger Games Rock, we close out the show each week with the musical selection of one of the host's choice that we think fits well with the Hunger Games. This week, enjoy my pick, which is Counting Stars by OneRepublic. And I was thinking of a song to do, and I think this is perfect. Have you heard this song?
No.
So, it's kind of a popular song right now, but some of the lyrics are, baby, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. And it kind of reminds me of PETA talking to Katniss, at least in the first book.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thinking, you know, it's me and you against the world sort of thing. No more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. It's like, you know what, this screw all the fame and money about, you know, the capital lifestyle. You know, let's just be us. It's us. It's me and you, Katniss. Let's see. Oh, here's another line. I feel something so right at doing the wrong thing. I feel something so wrong at doing the right thing. So it's kind of like fighting against the system, you know? Like, Nightlock.
Yeah.
So, there you go. There's my case. I hope you enjoyed that little explanation there. But that is it. That concludes the show. Be sure, everyone, to visit Rebellion Radio Podcast for literally all your show needs. Comment and discuss with other listeners on our show posts. Find out how to subscribe to us on iTunes, which is hugely important for our show. And get those great links to our Tumblr, Facebook, and Twitter. And Facebook and Twitter activity is the bomb, so definitely don't miss out at @RRPodcast on both of those sites. And of course, contact us for literally anything at all at comments@RebellionRadioPodcast.com. And we hope you guys have a fun month from now until the film is released. Yep. Thank you all very much.
Happy Halloween, for everybody.
And send us your pictures if you dressed up as Hunger Games people.
Yeah.
For sure. I know Alex is planning on dressing up as Prim again. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you will never find those photos, trust me.
No, I think we will. I'll ask your sister.
Oh, great.
Anyway, thank you all very much for listening. I'm Hurley Commons.
And I'm Alex Bulova.
Fight the Capitol. End the hunger, join the rebellion.
Lately, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars. Like a swinging vine, swing my heart across the line. In my face is flashing signs. Seek it out and ye shall find. Old, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told. Me feel alive. I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. Baby, I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Watch it burn. Oh, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told. And I feel something so wrong. We're doing the right thing. I could lie, could lie, could lie. Everything that drowns me makes me wanna fly. Yeah, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. Baby,
take that money, watch it burn, sink in the river, the lessons I learned. Take that money, watch it burn, sink in the river, the lessons I learned. Take that money, watch it burn, sink in the river, the lessons I learned. Take that money, watch it burn, sink in the river, the lessons I learned.
Everything that kills me makes me feel alive.
I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. Baby, I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars.
Lately I've been losing sleep.